I'd like to speak this morning about God's church. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 11 today, quite a bit. Especially about Abraham in chapter 11 and verse 8 of Hebrews. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went." I was impressed this week with this thought about Abraham being called out. So if we have a title for the message this morning, it would be "Called Out." Where was Abraham when he received this call? It says in Genesis, this says he was called to go out, but let's look at where he came from. In Genesis 11, it tells how that they lived. In verse 28, Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. Now Haran was Abraham's brother. Nahor had these three. No, Nahor was another brother, and Terah was their father. Terah died later. So the land of their nativity was Ur of the Chaldees. They really, the scholars have debated for a long time about just where that was in the land structure there. And some feel like it was up north, and that's actually what Stephen said when Stephen stood before the council and told the history of the Hebrews, of the Jews. He said that it was Mesopotamia, which is kind of north. But then others feel like that it was down south Babylonia. So anyway, it was quite a ways away from where he ended up and where the children of Israel ended up, over by the coast. This was north and east a little bit, at least Mesopotamia was. And I was reading a little bit about what some have dug in that place and discovered the ruins of those cities in that area. And they were very advanced in their buildings, and they found stately mansions and beautiful places to live there. God, and also the people of that area worshipped the moon god and many gods. Terah himself said in this history that I think it's the Targum that said that Terah worshipped many gods. How was it that this one of three brothers, one of the brothers died early, and his son remained with his uncle Abram? Lot, we've read about him too. How was it that he believed in God? That would be an interesting story, wouldn't it, to figure out how he alone believed in God. Look at Isaiah. I'd like to look at this verse. Isaiah 51 and 2. It says, "Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone." One of three brothers, but he was called of God. And God said to him, "Up, get you out of," how was it? We're just kind of going back and forth here because the story is in several places. "Up, get you out of get you out of this country, thy country, and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. That's Genesis 12 and 1. In Genesis 15 and 7, he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. So the Lord took him out of a place, and back to Hebrews 11 now. He took him out of that place and told him and called him out of it. He called him out of his family environment, out of the idolatry, the worship of the moon god, Nana, I think that was the name of it, the worship of many gods that were in his family. He called him and said, I'm going to give you a place for your inheritance. And Abram just, he just packed up. I wonder if he and Sarah had a beautiful home there in Ur, because that was what they had in that place, was beautiful mansion-like homes. He called him, and from the rest of his life to his death, he lived in tents, and Sarah too. Sarah was his wife. They lived in tents and camped and moved about. For a time, they went to Egypt when there was famine in the land that God had taken him to. They went down into Egypt because there was water and food there. Then they came back out of Egypt and just camped around. And the Hebrews, let's look at this again. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. He did that by faith. He did that not seeing. He did that by seeking God continually, and believing that God was going to reward him if he obeyed. He didn't get the reward at first. He didn't get it for a long time. God also, in the story of Abraham we read, God also promised him an heir. He didn't have any children. And he was 75 years old when he left his home with his flocks and herds and servants and his nephew Lot and his wife Sarai. They left and they just went. They lived in these tents. No doubt there were quite a few tents, made up a little tent city. Wherever they went, there was that kind of living. And it was all at the call of God. Just to bring it down to us today, what if God would appear to you and reveal himself to you and say, I want you to get up and I want you to go and get you a tent and go, and you and your wife are going to live in a tent. He didn't tell him you're going to live in a tent the rest of your life. You have to leave this beautiful home and go live in a tent the rest of your life. He didn't tell him that, but he said, I've got somewhere for you to inherit. As the years went by, there was nothing. There was really nothing where they could settle down and call home. Why? This explains it here. It said, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, which means he never settled down. He just camped around on it. Why was that not the inheritance that God had promised him? It was a land. They called it the land of promise. But to Abraham, that wasn't quite it. He sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac, his son, and his grandson, Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Yet they were still sojourners. They were still pilgrims. They were still just strangers. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, or eternal foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I don't know just how he understood all of this. I know that God would call him out and show him things. He would tell him to look up at the stars. He would give him promises. He would come and visit him. He talked with Abraham in two places in the scriptures. Abraham was called a friend of God. At one point it said that God was speaking and he said, Abraham, my friend. So he was close to God by faith. He talked with him. He walked with him. He obeyed God. There were times that he was overcome by fear. He went down into Egypt at one point, And when he was there, he was afraid that his beautiful wife would be taken away from him and given to Pharaoh, the king there. So he made like that she was his sister and not his wife. I don't see how he thought that would help any, but he did it. And God protected Sarah there. I believe there was another time that he protected her from Abimelech, the Philistine leader. But there were times that he was overcome with fear. But really, in the core of Abraham, there was a faith and obedience that made him be called the father of the faithful. And that's anyone who believes in Jesus Christ and believes and obeys him is called a child of Abraham. What about Sarah? In verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself. Abraham's wife had to get a hold of something too. And that's for us today to learn a lesson from. Because she is mentioned here personally in this lineup of heroes of faith. Sarah received strength by faith. She received strength to conceive a child even though she was past age of bearing children. By faith, she lived in those tents too. It took faith. It took faith to be a called out person. God called them from luxury and ease, but he called them out of idolatry. Many times those two go together. And he called them away from that, and they had to suffer deprivation and go through different kinds of trials that they wouldn't have had to go through if they hadn't been called out. But when you're called out to something. You're called out from something. You're called out to something. And there's some suffering that might go along with it. But God's people have always been called out. And I want to establish that in this message. That he's still calling out a people who look for a city. They're looking for something beyond this world. They're going to be strangers and pilgrims here. They're not going to fit in with the world. To be called out is something special. It means you become the Lord's peculiar or special treasure. His people. And he is your God. And there is a friendship and a kinship there with the called out ones and God that's not to be found anywhere else. People that have not been called out to God, not been set apart for God. There's also a lack of fellowship with God there. But when you've been called out and you obey, just like Abraham, you become a friend of God. And God walks with you and he talks with you. You are his treasure. He protects you. He comes and he tells you things that are going to come to pass in your life. And he warns you about things in your life. Jesus said, I don't call you servants. I call you friends. A master doesn't tell his servant everything he's going to do. But he said, you're my friend. I come to you and I deal with you and I work with you. So it means something to be called out by the master, called out by God. We can be called, but it's up to us to be obedient. And he was obedient. In fact, when you look at all of the people listed, when you look at Abel and Enoch and Noah, what was it that characterized all of these people in this chapter is that they received a call and God chose them to do something or to be something unto himself that maybe there were others that he'd called, but they didn't hear him or they didn't have a mind that way. But whenever Abel knew what God wanted him to do, he did it. He did it by faith. His works were righteous. The writer in John said, his works were righteous and his brothers were not. Abel, I believe that's, did I say Enoch? I'm sorry, Abel was the one I was just talking about. Enoch was translated. He lived 300 years he walked with God. When he was 65, he began a walk with God and it lasted 300 years. And the road just ended in eternity. He didn't even go through death. He was just, his road just, to me, I can just see it. It just went up and up and up and up until he just stepped off into the presence of God. He didn't even die. God just took him and changed him as we will be changed it right in the air if we're here when the Lord comes back. Enoch went through that already, but we'll go through that if we're here and hear the trumpet sound and we're ready to go. We'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. But he walked with God. And it inserts this in the middle of these testimonies. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. That word faith, it means a persuasion. It means God birthed something in you. He dealt with you. He convicted you. And you were persuaded to believe it. And without that, you can't really please him. But when you have that persuasion, as Abraham, he was persuaded, and these all were persuaded, as it talks about down here. Anyway, it says, he that cometh to God must believe that two things, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And as we've brought forth before, the way that we show God that we believe that is to diligently seek him and to not quit. And I believe that's what these men would do. They would diligently seek God. They wanted to walk with him. They wanted to know his will. And I believe that before Abraham was ever called to go out, that he sought after God. He wanted to know God. He wanted to know who God was. And he had forsaken the gods that were around him. And so God called him away from him. He called him out. And ever since then, his people have been called out people. So we talked about Sarah. She was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. That's just probably another whole message, so we'll just go on. Therefore sprang there, or from that boy that she had, even of one son, and him as good as dead, which I think that's referring to how that God later asked Abraham to yield up his life to him, and Abraham was willing to do that. As there sprang there so many as the stars of the sky in multitude. That means his heirs, all of the thousands and millions of people that have come from that child of promise. Not only literal Israel, but all who believe. You look in the book of Romans and in the book of Galatians, then it tells us there that the heirs of Abraham are all those who believe. So I'm one. I'm a daughter of Abraham by faith. And that means that all of us who believe are called out. We're called out with Abraham. It says, they were so many as the sand, which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise. They had a literal land that they lived in, but that really wasn't the real promise that God had promised. He had promised them a city of God. He had promised them something that wasn't built with hands. He had promised them a spiritual inheritance. He promised them... I just have to say it like this. He promised them his church, his kingdom. And back then, they didn't really receive it as it came through Christ. They only received it by faith. They saw it. It said they had seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. In the 13th of Hebrews, he speaks of it again. And he applies it to the believers then. He says here in verse 12, Hebrews 13 and 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, he suffered without the gate or outside the camp. Jesus was called out too. He was called to give himself outside the city, outside the camp. Let us Go forth therefore unto him without the camp, or outside society, outside of the mainstream of people, bearing his reproach or bearing his scandal. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We don't live for this world. We seek constantly the spiritual city of God. We seek it. Well, I want to speak just a little bit more. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. Looking here at Jacob in verse 21, and Joseph, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. You look at all of them, and they're every one of them. They were looking forward to something to come, or they were seeing something in their hearts and in their spirits, which really wasn't tangible. It wasn't something they could get their hands on. It was a spiritual treasure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed the sons of Joseph. Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. All of them were looking forward to something. And then Moses. By faith, Moses was not, by his parents, he was hid 3 months because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses was called out too. Do you remember how Moses was called? He received a definite call, didn't he? Where did the voice come from? You children can answer this. Where did the voice come from that called Moses? What? From God? But where was God? Where was his voice coming from when he called Moses? Someone else want to answer? The burning bush. God called to him out of the bush. When he received the call at first, he didn't feel like he was able to do what God had called him to do. There are so many things in this, I probably won't be able to bring them all, but these were called by God to come out and to do God's will and to receive something that they had to give up what they had. But he had promised them something. He says here in verse 27, by faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, for us today, I want to just speak to us. Some people feel like that the thing for Christians to do today is to be just kind of assimilated into this society. They feel like that we should be more friendly. And I understand that word friendly, but what some people are really talking about is just be as the people around you. Just fit in. But I want you to tell me, when we read Hebrews 11, did these people just fit in? Didn't it say that they were strangers and pilgrims? Didn't it say that they confessed that? They acknowledged that? Did Moses just stay in Egypt and say, well, I'll help my people from here? No, God called him. God called him out. He forsook Egypt. Abraham forsook Ur, where there was plenty. There's a scripture. We read the scripture about Sarah, how she was willing to go with Abraham. That's kind of an unspoken thing that we get from there. But we know she did. We know she died out there in a tent somewhere on the plains. She was willing. But what I was thinking of what Jesus said when he was talking to us about not putting our heart on the treasures here on this earth, he was talking about being called out. And then he said, remember Lot's wife. We have the story of Sarah, how that she obeyed and went with her husband. But what about Lot's wife? She ended up in Sodom. She was tired of the tent life, I would say. Because in Sodom, she and Lot lived in a house. And that's where they immersed their family into Sodom's lifestyle. Their children married into that. They had no doubt riches. They had wealth there. So much so that she could not leave it in her heart. And she could not leave her children that were there. Her kinspeople, her family. She could not bear to leave it. God said, leave it. I'm getting ready to destroy it. Leave it behind. And she could not stand to do it. She looked back and was stricken with the judgments of God. Lost her life because she loved Sodom. There's some people that resist the call to be called out. They don't want to be called out. They want to stay. Jesus said, remember her. Don't forget about Lot's wife. Remember that she could not leave her home. She could not leave her possessions. She could not leave her family behind. Her heart was tied to the treasures of this earth. But when we're called out, sometimes we're called to leave the treasure. Sometimes we're called to leave family. Sometimes we're called to leave what is comfortable for us, the known, the comfortable, the easy. It has meant something down through the years for people to be called out. And it's going to mean something for us too. But there's treasures. There's a blessing. I don't want to scare you and say, well, if you live for God, it's just going to all be suffering. Here's one of the treasures. Psalms chapter 4. And verse 3. But I know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. Now that's, to me, that's just quite enough. That's it. He told Abram, I am your exceeding great reward. You've left all to follow me. You've left it all behind. For reward, you have me. And this is what this is saying. The Lord has set apart, or he has called out those who are godly. He's called them out for himself. We get to enjoy his presence. That's what Enoch did too. We get to have him. We get to own him, to possess him, his blessings, his spirit, his life, his treasures, his heavenly treasures, the wealth of the kingdom of God. I thought about that this week. I've thought about it a lot. The difference between those who are immersed in this life and who serve the gods of this world. They have this world. They have more than heart could wish. David looked out and saw, or the writer there in Psalm 73. He looked out and he said, they have more than heart could wish. But there's something that they don't have. They don't have the treasures of the kingdom. The one who's called out, he or she has wealth untold. Treasures in the heart. Maybe not the pleasures of this life, the fleeting, vain things that last for a time. There are some exhilarating things out there in the world. I know. I know there are. I'm not blind. I don't just serve God not knowing that there's fun to be had in the world. I know there is. I know there are things out there that are very pleasurable. But I also know that they're for a season, like Moses said. He chose rather to suffer affliction than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And life ends so fast. There's another world to think about. There's eternal life to think about. He sets those that are godly, he sets them apart for himself. That's just a wonderful thought to me. 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 9, he says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises." And that word peculiar, it means a chosen treasure. It means someone who has been set apart and guarded and kept for sacred purpose. We're a people with a purpose. We're a people that God has created for a certain purpose. You're a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So He's called us out of, like Abraham, the idol worship, like Moses, the pleasures of sin, like Abel, self-righteousness and doing things my way, like Enoch, just a life apart, walking with God. He's called us from this world, like Noah. He called him. He was a person with a purpose, wasn't he? That was a great purpose that God called him to. But He called him away from a world of violence and sin. He calls us to, out of darkness, into His marvelous light. Oh, I'd rather have a light today that's in my soul than all the treasures of darkness that are out there in sin. All of the things that have to do with the dark lifestyle that's there. I would rather have the marvelous light. And to me, it is light. It is marvelous. He has called us like that. Philippians 2. In verse 14, he says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." And He's called us, as we read here in 1 Peter 2, and here in Philippians 2. We shine. He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, that we should show forth the praises. And here it says that we should shine as lights, holding forth the word of life. Now, there's a little difference in really in what He did with Abraham and what He does with us. What He did with Abraham was a literal, and I believe it was an example to us. We don't necessarily leave. Like, if the Lord would call you today, that doesn't necessarily mean that you got to leave Danville. We can't leave this earth. You know, you might imagine some kind of Dr. Seuss-like tower that's this great big old house setting up on stilts that's away from the earth. We can't do that. We can't go up and live in outer space. We're still here on earth. But did you know God still calls us out? He calls us to be with Him in our spirits. Our lives are different from the people around us. Very, very different. And it's okay. It's a good life. It's the best life. But it's a called out life. We can't just enter in. We're not really a part. We don't really fit in. And I know sometimes when you're younger, you want to fit in. You can't understand why we can't fit in. Why do we have to be so different? Why do I feel so like I'm weird when I go around others? Why do we have to live this way? I know I questioned that when I was younger. I wanted to fit in. I didn't like not fitting in. And maybe sometimes girls are worse than boys. I don't know. Because the women of today have gone so far away from decency and modesty and what God really wants His creation to be, that it's hard to be so different. But there's a reward in it. You get to be part of God's. You get to be friends with God. You get to be close to Him and walk with Him. Even though you don't fit in the world, you fit in the circle of the Father and the Son and His chosen ones. You fit in there. It's wonderful to go into society of the saints and to kind of leave the society of the world and go be with the saints, just to be with those that God has called out. Because you fit in there. Now I want to look at what Jesus told Peter, Matthew 16, when he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they gave him different answers. And so he said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered Jesus. And he said, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, or Simon son of Jonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed that to you." Who had revealed that Jesus was the Messiah to Peter? God the Father had witnessed to him in his heart, "This is the one. This is he." When you have that witness, that changes you for the rest of your life. When you know this is true, this is who I should follow, he's real, I'm convinced. See, that's that faith that says he is. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When you have that faith, it sets you apart. God calls you out. And he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The word church means those who are called. It means called to. It means called out. It means called to assembly. Called together. Called away from. Called to something. That's what this word means. Now go to Hebrews again, chapter 12 this time. And he talks here about what we're called to, what we've come to in salvation. Hebrews 12 and 22. "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven." This is where we've come to. This is where we've been called to. We've been called to the church of God, the assembly of those who are written in heaven. The word assembly, it kind of harkens back to in the Old Testament, where he called it the city of our solemnities. This word assembly, it's speaking about getting together for a festival. You might not have thought of that, but it's a happy time. It's like when the Hebrews would meet together for their festivals three times a year: Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Harvest. They would get together and they would rejoice in what the Lord had done for them. That's what we're called to. We're called out of darkness, but we're called to festal gathering. The city of God, the chosen, called out ones who come together and rejoice. That's what I get out of it. We don't come together to just sit around and moan and groan and bemoan the fact that we've been called out of the world and we can't enjoy the world. But what do we do when we get together? We rejoice. It's a feast with the Lord. We've been called to a feast. We've been called to the living water. We've been called to heavenly bread that satisfies and that we enjoy. We've been called to joy. We've been called to the city of our solemnities, the city of our vows and our appointed things that God has made for us and given to us. Let's see. 1 Thessalonians. Four and seven. "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what? Unto holiness." So we've been called to joy. We've been called to light, his marvelous light. We've been called to holiness. We've been called to walk with God. We've been called out of idolatry, but we've been called to be God's own chosen people. He has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. That separates you right there. If you have been called this morning and you're living a holy life, you really don't have to just go and tell everybody, I'm separate from you. You don't have to even do that. You be living a holy life inside. You're a holy temple to the Lord. You're just going to stand out as something different. You're just not going to fit in because the temple's just different. God doesn't want His temple to be defiled. I read to the children the other night such an interesting story of Josiah. You ever read that story? It's so good. It has so many spiritual truths in it. Josiah was a child. He was 8 years old. And he began to seek after God. He began to seek what to do. And he sought the Lord for 8 years before he really understood what to do. I wonder if we're willing to do that. And whenever he was 16, he figured out, was it 16 or 20? How was it that we read there? He began to understand what it was that he was to do. Was he 20? Something. He did one thing when he was 16, and then he did the next thing when he was 20. Let me find it here. I just read it. I wanted to just bring out what he did there as far as being called of God to reform Israel. Or Judah it was, and it's not Israel, but Judah. Yes, 2 Chronicles 34. Okay, so when he was 16, he began to seek after God. And when he was 20, this is how it was. When he was 20, he began to tear down all of the groves and the idol temples and the idols. So for 4 years, he sought God. Maybe he didn't really understand what he was to do, or maybe he was just gathering strength and courage all that time. It was a difficult thing to be called of God in that time where everyone was worshiping idols. God called him and said, I want you to destroy these temples. I want you to tear down these idols. Cut down these forests that they've erected these temples in. And so he did that. He started doing that. And then 6 years later, he got another call. I just marvel at the progression of God's, and it, to me, it made it so clear. A lot of times what God does in our lives, we've got to diligently seek Him, and it's not going to all happen just at once. There's going to be times in our lives where we'll just be seeking, and we just won't quite know what to do. Just keep on. Keep on. The Lord's going to take you through experiences and places where you really don't know what's happening, but God does. He's preparing you for something. So he sought the Lord here for 4 years. And then again, after he broke those down, then another 6 years went by. And he sent men in to repair the temple. I don't know how it was that he didn't understand about, well, I guess I should be working on God's temple. Maybe it just Maybe it was so intense. Maybe that there was so much to do that it took him 6 years to clean up all that idol stuff. And then at 26, he said, let's go and let's get God's temple ready for worship. And he worked on that. He spent time repairing the temple. And while they were repairing the temple, he found God's law. A little scroll of the first five books, that's all they had. He found it hidden in the rubbish of the temple. They were being thorough, weren't they? They were really scrubbing it from top to bottom and repairing it and fixing leaks and holes and getting out everything that had been broken and fixing it. They had to get stone, they had to get timber. It was a major, major restoration that they were doing here. But just think, he didn't just start in when he was 8 doing that. He was called, but it was a progressive call. God worked with him. He did things as God worked with him. And maybe today you're thinking, well, man, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and I'm seeking God, but I don't really understand what I'm supposed to do. Take this for an example, an encouragement. You just keep seeking God, and He will lead you into the next step. Another thing that I thought about, and this goes more with the message maybe, but whenever Israel fell into idol worship and they erected all these idol temples and idols, the temple of the Lord always went to waste. And it would just be overrun with, I don't know, with enemies, with animals, with rubbish and dirt. And that's what happens when people when we go after idols, who is the temple of God today? It's us. When we go after the things of this world, who we are, what God made us to be, it always gets run down. We take in the things in our lives that will tear us down. Can't we see that this morning in people's lives? Characteristics that they would have if they were God's temple and He was dwelling within, they lose those things. There's a verse somewhere, I think it's in Ezekiel, but he said, your sins have withheld good things from you. There are good things that would be in everyone's lives if they weren't out following the gods of this world. The temple gets destroyed. It just gets torn up and full of rubbish. People's lives are like that. But, you know, they can still be a temple of the Lord. After you get all the idols torn down, the Lord begins to repair the temple. He begins to put good things in us. When He calls us, He calls us to holiness. He calls us to begin putting the right things back into our lives. One more I wanted to get this. I think it's 1 Corinthians 1. Let me just see here. Yes. 1 Corinthians 1 and 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. That's another message. The callings of God to specific ministry. And God has that in mind. And one prophecy in Isaiah says, yea, for the rebellious also. If you've been rebellious and gone away from God and made your temple defiled, God wants to save you and repair the temple and give you a calling. That's a wonderful thought to me whenever he said, yea, for the rebellious also. I know you can look that up sometime, but he's talking about he gave gifts unto men. Anyway, he says he was called to be an apostle. Verse 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. The word saints is not just colloquialism of our group. It's not just kind of a pet name. It's not just kind of a thing that's handed down. And yet it is. But not just, it's not just us, but it's anyone who is the Lord's. You're called to be a saint. What a saint is a holy person, a set apart person, a person who's been set apart for sacred use. You are a temple. You're God's chosen. You're a saint. When God calls you, He wants us to realize we are called to be holy people. Well, I thank God for the special calling that He's given us. I thank the Lord for the examples in the Scripture that show us, many times they show us how God will work with us. Amen.